Good morning to you. It's good to see you all here. And if, as mentioned before, if we have visitors, we are grateful for your presence. We hope that you'll stick around and we'll get to know you a little bit more this morning. And if you're looking for a place to worship, I hope you will consider Ephesus and find that what we do here is as God commanded it to be, that we would be as the first church that He established and do things that He told us to do, don't do things that He told us that we shouldn't do, and that we would be just striving to please God in every aspect of life. This morning, let's look at something that we all face at some time or another. This idea of anxiety or worry. Or worry and fear and anxiety are so plagued in our society today, as we'll see. We know that worry, you've heard the old saying, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. Worry is that fast trip on a wooden horse. You don't really accomplish anything. You don't really go anywhere. You don't really get anything done. And anxiety has much to do with the same thing is that. And as we look at Matthew chapter 6 in verse 25, we have what Jesus thinks of worry, of anxiety. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See, the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? What shall we wear?'" We see what Jesus says about worry, and we see also in Philippians chapter 4, the first part of verse 6, what Paul has to say to the Philippian brethren: be anxious for nothing. And it calls us to wonder, how can we not be anxious? How could we not be anxious in such a thing as this? You see, worry is the diet of the day. It is the diet of our days, today lives. Worry is the fear of what if. We're plagued by the what if problem. What if my car is demolished? What if I get laid off from work? What if our house is burglarized? What if I get cancer? If we have a good job, we worry that we'll lose it. If we have good health, we worry it won't last long. If our children have left the house, we worry that they might come home. From breakfast until bedtime, our lives are characterized by worry. And sometimes our greatest worry is the fact that everything's fine and that we don't have anything to worry about. That this won't last long. Something's up because everything's going too good. How can we not be anxious in today's society with the things that go on today? John Hopkins University did a study of anxiety, of worry. It says general worriers tend to spend an average of 55 minutes a day worrying, while people with GAD, which is some greater anxiety disorder, often spend over 300 minutes a day worrying. That's quite a bit of worry, considering that there's only 1,440 minutes in a day. And if you actually sleep for 8 hours a day, then that takes away, you know, a third of that available time. So you're spending a good portion of your time worrying, on average about an hour a day. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental disease in the United States. It is rapidly growing. And according to the ADAA, which is the Anxiety Depression Association of America, 40 million Americans over the age of 18 are affected by anxiety. Women are double the risk for anxiety disorders than men do. More of that probably from genetics of men. Look, I would not look like this had I not been married. Because I don't care. That's got a lot to do with it. My wife does care. And I think that's a lot of men are that way. They just, it's all right. It's all right. They don't care about nothing. Unless it's something that you're doing, then you care a little bit about it. But, you know, women are double the risk, according to this study, for anxiety disorders more than men. And it said that some 15 million people suffer from a social anxiety disorder, this idea of being around people, around crowds. 14.8 million suffer from major depressive disorder. 7.7 million affected by post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. We see that millions and millions of people are affected by anxiety disorders and by anxiety. And if we go by that percentage, based on the number that's on the board, there'll probably be at least 20 to 30 people in here that have anxiety problems. And so if you're not one of those people, you definitely know one of those people. And at some time during your life, and most likely sometime during the course of your day, you have some sort of, as we call, an anxiety attack. And there's a thing about these anxiety attacks and these anxiety, not the disorders, but a lot of our worry and anxiety which come up from our lives from day to day are really could be broken down into these percentages. 40% of these things that will never happen. We worry about 40% of the stuff, it won't ever happen. 30% things about the past that we can't change. You can't change the past. Don't worry about that. Nothing you can do about it now. It's done. It's over with. It's gone. 12% things about criticism by others, mostly untrue. People talking bad about you and they're making stuff up. Why worry about what they're lying about you? You worried about somebody lying about you, telling bad things about you that aren't true. People know who you are. People know the truth about you. 10% about our health. The funny thing about worrying about your health is your health is directly impacted by how much stress you put on yourself in your life. So worrying actually will make your health worse. 8% about real problems that we'll have to face. That is how our anxiety, our worry can really be broken down to. So many times. See, most of us can identify with the woman who was very seriously ill, and she went to the doctor and she said, I believe I have this great disease, you know, this hypochondria. I believe that I have this great, terrible disease that I will die in a week. And the doctor said, well, do you have the pain in your elbow? She said, no, I don't. He said, well, you know that disease goes directly with pain in your elbow. She said, I know, and that's what the part that worries me. We know about the little boy who says his mother worries so much about him. She's so anxious about him all the time, worried about how he is and whether he's okay. He said, you know, if I got a cough, she thinks I've got bronchitis. If I've got a headache, she thinks that I've got a brain tumor. He said, I went and told a lie and now she's worried that I'm going to be a politician. We see all these worries and anxieties that go on and on in our lives. And we laugh about it and we can laugh. We laugh at those people because that ain't us. And we laugh because we know it's halfly true. But when it's us and our anxiety, things change a little bit. Things tend to be a little bit different. Put the shoe on the other foot. We can see that worry is not good for our health. It's not good for our health spiritually. It's not good for our health physically. As we looked at what Jesus said in Matthew 6, He said, who by worrying could add 1 hour to His life? Or if you have a different version, it might read, who by worrying could add 1 cubit to His stature? What does worrying profit you? How does worrying help you grow? How does worrying extend your life? You know, that the world which we live in is heavily plagued with anxiety. And I hope that in this anxious world in which we live in, that you might not get rid of anxiety, but that through Jesus Christ, anxiety will not overcome you, but you can overcome anxiety. Here's just a few things that I think that will help us overcome our anxiety. And the first one is, read the Bible. To read the Bible every day. To read the Bible not only when we feel plagued with cares, but when we rejoice. We need to read our Bible as a habit. As a habit-forming thing that when we read the Bible, as Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. So with the Scriptures, we can study God's Word. And that we would know that He cares for us. And we know how much that He cares for us, even more than the birds, the air, the lilies of the field, the grass on the ground, that we don't have anything that we should really be genuinely worried about. That there's nothing there. There's nothing for us to be anxious about because we know that from reading the Bible that God cares for us. The second thing that I believe we could do is to be realistic. Let's set forth some realistic expectations. And I'm not saying to belittle your dreams or to say that things will never happen, but I mean, let's be realistic. The idea of me ever being a model, not very realistic. Probably not going to happen. The idea of me flying a space shuttle, definitely not going to happen. We can have realistic expectations. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the busyness that is done on the earth, even though one sees no sleep or night. Then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. You know, you're not going to know everything. You can't know everything, no matter how hard you try. You know what, if you live in a house with kids, your house isn't going to be spotless, no matter how hard you try. If you're older, your knees, your back, not what they used to be, there might be some dust on the baseboards, and that's all right. You know those napkins that you're so worried about folding right on the center line? They'll still clean that barbecue sauce off my mouth if they're not folded right. Because the first thing I'm going to do when I sit down is unfold it. And that's all right. That's okay. You know, we're not perfect. But glory be to God that we are forgiven. And that takes over everything else. And that's the realistic thing, is to know we're not perfect, but God's grace is. And God's Son is. And His sacrifice was perfect. You know, we could be a little bit more like Mary in Luke 10 instead of like Martha. And Jesus told Martha, well, let me look at that before I just quote that terribly wrong. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know, we need to have some realistic expectations of the way things are going to be. And it's all right, as long as we keep our priorities in order of seeking first the kingdom of God. Everything else will fall into its place where it falls, and it'll be all right. It lands how it lands. But to be realistic. The third thing we can do is we can be content. To be content is such an important thing in our lives that we should be, as Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And we go, well, what is that, Paul? What is the key? What is the key to living in these situations to be content? He said, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And no matter the situation that I'm in, no matter where I'm at, I know that God is with me. That Christ gives me strength, and it is in Him as I am strengthened that I know that I'll be fine. Whether I'm fed, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm in need, or whether I'm in plenty, I know that Christ is there. And that Christ strengthens me. We may think that, you know, if money was nothing to me. I had just the greatest bank account there ever was, well, I'd never have any problems. Well, I tell you, but you're probably going to have more problems. I remember when I was about 12 years old, my granddad had contracted out to bush hog this large chunk of land. And all together, both sides of the road, it was 210 acres and it was on a 6-foot bush hog. It took a little time. And he said to me, if you want to do it, he said, I'll pay you to go bush hog for me. I said, all right. 12 years old out there making $5 an hour. Every time that tractor, that hour meter would flip on that, was another $5 in my pocket. Boy, I thought I was somebody. I remember taking a break at lunch and I'd prop my feet up on top of that water cooler and get in the shade underneath that tractor and eat that ham sandwich and think, man, if I could ever make $10 an hour, I'd never have a worry in the world. Man, if I just double my money right here. I'm making $5 an hour. I know how much I got. Whew. If I could ever make 10, boy, I'd have it. I'd have it whipped. And finally, several years later, made $10 an hour. That wasn't enough, was it? Well, 15 and 20, now 25, now 30. It'd be like an auctioneer, just keep going and going. We won't ever have enough. But if we could find a way to be content and go, you know what? That shirt I got's fine. Those pants I got's fine. Those shoes are good enough. Old truck still cranks. Still got gas in it. Finding a way to be content. Knowing that I can do it. No matter what state I'm in, whether it's in bounty or whether it's in need, that I can do it because Christ strengthens me. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. You know, we are an abundant nation. We live in a very abundant nation. And as I was looking at anxiety in America, I found that we are 4 times more likely than the next closest country in the world to suffer from anxiety, to have anxiety. Compared to Mexico, just south of the border there, we are 15 times more likely to suffer from anxiety than Mexico. A place where the drug cartel comes in, destroys your entire little town, your home, just at a moment's notice. The place where poverty is so rapid, why are they so less anxious than we are? Because I think they focus on the things that matter. And they don't worry about that 8%. The real problems we might face. You see, worry is the fear of what if. Real fear is fear. You know, the what if fear is the fact that, you know, bears eat people, right? You know, and bears are outside, and bears live in the woods, and since bears live in the woods, and there's a bear that was spotted in Opelika, and I'm in Alabama too, and I live next to woods, that the fact is that since bears are outside and they're in the woods and a bear was in Alabama, there's probably a bear in my woods, and what if I go in the woods, that bear's going to eat me. That's the exaggeration of that worrying, that what if, the fear of what if. We be content where we are, what we got, what we have, and focus on the good cares. Focus on the good cares and not the bad things. And Paul himself was anxious. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, besides everything else, I have a daily burden because of my anxiety about all the churches. It's good to be concerned and caring for our brothers and sisters. But we don't need to have that anxiety overtaking us and having a bad form of anxiety of the cares of the world, as we read about in the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." When the cares of the world, not the cares for our brother, not the cares for our sister, cannot let the world's cares and worries and anxieties overtake us so that we become choked out. Focus on the good things. Care about those things which are good, not the things that don't matter. Number 5 is trust God. Probably the one that could be ranking above all the others. Trust God. Say, while Christians may feel insecure, the reality is that we are very secure. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are secure. We are secure in His arms, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And we might feel helpless, but the reality is that He has a great help, that we have as Christians a great help. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" No one. No one can be against us if God is for us. And as we read a moment ago, trusting in Matthew 6, we could read the rest of that. We stopped in verse 31. We'll pick up in verse 33 of what Jesus tells us is the key to the worry. To not worry. Do not worry about what you eat, what you shall wear. Verse 33 says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else will be added unto you. The remedy for anxiety is to completely and totally trust and put our confidence in God's ability to take care of those things which threaten us. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, really Philippians 4 would be great for us to all go home and read, and really I've read a good portion of it through this sermon, but Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, I want you to pay attention and read these words yourself as we read them together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whether you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord. Think about those things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. So when anxiety attacks, will you be ready? Are you going to be ready when you have those moments of anxiety? Because they're not avoidable. They're going to creep up, they're going to find you. But the thing is, don't let it overtake you. You control it. And think about Paul when he wrote Philippians. Most likely, where was he at? He was most likely in prison. And he's telling them to rejoice in the Lord. To not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. We can be comforted by verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's why he wasn't anxious. That's why he didn't worry. That's why he didn't fear. Because he knew he was walking with the Son of God. He was walking in the light as he is in the light. He knew that was the only thing that really mattered. Do you have confidence to know that Christ is with you? Or is he with you? If he's not living in you, then you probably do feel anxious. You probably do feel a great deal of anxiety. You probably feel misery, woe. So my plea to you is the same plea that which Christ made. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Where are you this morning? Are you overtaken with anxiety and the worries and cares of this world? Satan's smiling if you are, because he thinks, "I got them. I got them feeling alone. I got them feeling like God has abandoned them. I've got them right where I want them." But as we looked at the words of Paul and we looked at the words of Christ, and we see that God loves us and that He's not going to abandon us, that He's always there with us, we know that there's no reason to worry. No reason to have anxiety. There's no reason to have fears or cares of this world, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.